Avian flu is back in British Columbia. At least 18,000 chickens and turkeys are either dead or will be at Fraser Valley Poultry Farms. Vaughn Palmer joins us again with this and more from Canada. Hi, Vaughn.
Hello, Marcy.
The last time avian flu hit hard in BC, about 10 years ago, at that point, millions of birds were destroyed. How serious is this outbreak?
Well, it's serious enough that I see an alert out from Hong Kong saying they're not going to accept poultry products from Canada until this is straightened out in British Columbia. You've got two farms under quarantine and fairly serious monitoring put in place. And as you mentioned, these birds will be destroyed. They'll be composted on the farms to prevent any spread. So they're taking it very, very seriously. They recognize that last time the thing was way out of control. They say the controls are better now. And I guess you give them the benefit of the doubt unless it spreads somewhere else.
Do they know where it came from?
No, and the two farms are far enough apart that they doubt one could have infected the other, and that's one of the concerns. So, this is being taken very, very seriously by regulators and by the producers themselves. As you mentioned, last time, 10 years ago, 17 million birds were destroyed, 42 farms, and $320 million in damage to the industry. So they are very concerned to avoid that this time.
I'm talking with Vancouver Sun columnist Vaughn Palmer, and moving from chickens to a different kind of concern, a Supreme Court judge in BC has dropped contempt charges against a group of anti-pipeline demonstrators who were arrested on Burnaby Mountain near Vancouver. Will you remind us why they were demonstrating?
They were protesting an attempt by the pipeline builder, or the would-be pipeline builder, to do some geological surveying on the mountain to take soil samples and some drilling. The plan is to tunnel the pipeline under the mountain, so they had to do some geotechnical work first, and that was the protest. There was an injunction against them blocking work on the site, and a number of people were charged. The company made a major screw-up. They gave the judge the wrong information from the GPS system so that the actual GPS coordinates were not that covered by the injunction. People were being arrested for being somewhere that legally they weren't prevented from being. The judge last week, Marcy, turned to the company's lawyer in court and said, do you want to make an application to just withdraw these contempt charges? And the company decided, yes, we better, so the charges were dropped. I think there's still some outstanding criminal contempt charges from people that actually obstructed the police in doing their jobs there, but the civil contempt proceedings, all that, were dropped. The company's finished its work. It says it has all the geotechnical information it needs. That goes to national regulators now. The project still hasn't passed environmental approval.
So nothing happens until that approval is given?
Yes, and that will take, I think, it's sometime next year. And even then, Marcy, as you know, I mean, that isn't the end of it. That's just probably the beginning.
Vaughn Palmer is with me. We're talking over news from Canada. And listeners may have heard of something called the Buy America Act. I looked it up. There are actually a couple of them. But this one we're talking about requires mass transit-related projects to use American parts and products, which is great if you live in the United States, but apparently a Canadian project is affected by this, Vaughn?
Yes, the Alaska Highway Service is renovating their terminal in Prince Rupert. That's part of the Alaska Coastal Service. And the tender call, it's about a $10 to $20 million job, insists that the steel be sourced in the United States. Now, the terminal is actually on Canadian soil. It's leased. And there's some indignation in Canada. And from the Premier of British Columbia, Christy Clark, has said, you know, it's one thing to have Buy America for a project in Cincinnati, but this one is in Canada. It's a bit much to say that Canadian steelmakers can't bid for the steel contract on their own soil.
Is there any recourse?
No.
No.
I don't think so. I mean, the Canadian government's talking about taking action and going to the World Trade Organization and taking it up with the American administration, but it doesn't look like there's anything to prevent this. And countries are allowed to have buy domestic purchase conditions for government contracts, and that's what this is. It's U.S. Highways money that's going to this project. The site is leased. There's nothing in the lease agreement that precludes the American ferry terminal operator from doing this. So we can squawk all we want, but I don't think there's anything we can do about it. It's pretty rare. Most Buy American provisions apply to projects in the United States. It's not that often that extraterritoriality applies, and the Canadian government is looking at its legal options, but I don't think they have much recourse.
Maybe we should all just be one country, Vaughn. We will talk to you next week.
Yeah. Well, try saying that in Canada. You want to get some interesting mail?
Vaughn Palmer writes for the Vancouver Sun, and he's with us most Wednesdays on The Record. Talk to you next week, Vaughn.
Bye-bye, Marcy.
Bye-bye.